We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get inside into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Dan Zangrilli with you as we're counting down the days till we're back at Milan Puskás Stadium for the Gold Blue Spring Game coming up the final Saturday of April. And we want to get you in the mood. We're talking to a couple of the newest Mountaineer assistants, defensive line coach Andrew Jackson, AJ, as we affectionately call him, and Shadon Brown, the co-defensive coordinator, defensive backs coach, coming in from Louisville. We cover a number of different topics with both Coach Brown and Coach Jackson, and we're going to talk a lot about the transfer portal and how they're navigating it, because both are really actively involved in the Mountaineer recruiting process. We're also going to talk about their position groups as well. So we've got a lot to discuss, and we hope you're in the football mood. So stay with us. Directly ahead, it's AJ, Andrew Jackson, coming to us from Old Dominion a couple of months ago. A one-on-one with him coming up next after this on MSN.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? It's doing a job that makes a difference. Serving your community and your country. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve. AFReserve.com.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice-cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today, tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Well, AJ, you really hit the ground running here a couple of months since the announcement was made of your hiring. First off, just give us an update of how that acclimation process is going and what you're learning here, because we were talking a moment ago. It's a special place, and until somebody really gets here and is here a few months, they really can't truly appreciate it, can they?
No, it really is a unique place. The
it's a small town feel, but there's big energy here around the programs, around the sports programs. It came in during the end of basketball season, so there's excitement around that. And then obviously coming through the COVID season with football and then, you know, with them finishing 6-4, winning a bowl game and having a top-ranked defense, there's definitely been a buzz around here. Obviously had the two Steels brothers having a great season and a freshman All-American, Akeem Messidor, being around. So definitely some buzz around the program, and it's been fun hitting the ground running, coming and joining these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And your cupboard is not bare from your position group, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. But I want to get some background from a former Mountaineer assistant who was here just 1 year. He had a terrific opportunity to take a defensive coordinator position at Old Dominion, where you, for those uninitiated, obviously are coming from. You mentioned that Blake Seiler really sold West Virginia Coach Brown's culture, the entire program, to you while you were both together at Old Dominion. Give me some background, further details on how that conversation went and what Blake told you about WVU and how it helped your decision.
2019, I coached against the first season here against Neil Brown at JMU. And I kind of had known Blake Seiler a little bit just through a convention and maybe some opportunities other places. But when he came to Old Dominion, he was always very appreciative of the family time, being able to be a father, raise his daughters. His wife was pregnant during the transition of moving to Old Dominion. And he always spoke about how, you know, there was always kids running around the program. Wives were allowed in the building. Neil had families over to his house a lot, took the families out to do things and engagements. So, you know, me being a young guy just getting engaged, I always was very cognizant of the coaches that didn't spend time with their family and the ones that did. So me taking my fiance, getting engaged, and then moving her within a couple months of engagement, that was one thing that made me really comfortable about having the opportunity to join this program, not only just because it was a Power 5 program, but I felt like me being a young coach, I was going to be taken care of as well.
So you were the recruiting coordinator at Old Dominion as well. That's well documented. What's your recruiting philosophy in this day and age, and what are you bringing from what you picked up at Old Dominion and that recruiting area, which is obviously very talent-rich? Give me a couple of bullet points there on what you're bringing here from the recruiting side, both in where we're at in this day and age, what you need to do, and how you're going about it.
I think number one is obviously the recruiting relationship starts around talent, but I think that the best way to recruit guys that fit your program from a talent perspective and a culture perspective is to get to know them. And if the players understand how you think and the things you value, and those kind of things align, I think you'll have a successful relationship on both ends, off the field and on the field, and grow on the program. You know, when things get a little tough and some adversity strikes, that you can be able to fall back on that relationship, and it will just be more than football. So I think that's kind of one of the things I try to provide in recruiting. Recruiting at smaller places, you don't get necessarily the top talent, but you have to try to get the best fit. So I'll bring some of that.
So how do you navigate the transfer portal, like from your perspective? You obviously want to try to mitigate the number of your own players that wind up going in it. Mm-hmm. And if there are players that can help you, that's obviously a great tool and a resource. But this is just uncharted waters here for the game of college athletics in total. So give me your perspective on that.
It's here to stay, so there's no reason to complain about it. I firmly believe in people taking advantage of opportunities. I firmly believe in people being comfortable where they're at and playing at a school that they're comfortable at and enjoying themselves. You try to have some fun. You know, it gets sort of serious and business-like at times. But you know, if you try to take what you can from it, and hopefully, you know, if it's a total break, it's smooth and clean, and you wish people well, and you know, you try to gain and lose less from the portal as best you can.
So, tell me about your position group. How excited you are to inherit these guys? Maybe not quite a turnkey group, but pretty darn close. Perhaps the most talent-rich position group here. You like what you have, yes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get to coach Dante Stills. His brother Darius did a great job here, so Dante's looking to repeat what his success his brother had. Young Canadian Akeem Messidor comes down, and he did great as a freshman. Got Jeff Pooler, got Taj Alston coming back, and Coach Leslie went across that over to Finland and found a defensive tackle, Eddie Vesterin, who's been turning some heads in spring football, and got a local kid in Sean Martin, a legacy in Jalen Thornton. So, you know, it's talent rich and it's deep, and I'm excited. I think the Leslie guy is crazy for giving up this group.
I was going to say, this is going to be to your benefit here. So tell me about some of the new guys. Tell me about Eddie that a lot of folks are going to be watching here in the spring game in a couple of weeks. What's he all about? How excited are you about him?
It's my first European I've ever coached, so I was extremely impressed about how much knowledge he had about the game. But he's an old school, old soul, hard nose, hard hat mentality, lunch pail guy. He really comes in. He's really like that backwoods blue collar culture that comes from his mining territory. He's just down to his business, very serious. I mean, he runs. He goes 1,000 miles an hour. I think people will be really excited to get to know him and see him play.
So what has he been doing in spring ball that's really opened some eyes? And hey, if you're going to be getting snaps in this position group, you've really got to earn your keep. And it sounds like he is so far. What is he doing to rise up the ranks so quickly?
He's being real physical. His motor is unbelievable. He runs sideline to sideline. I mean, at the end of a play, you'll see Eddie next to the ball, and he's just turning heads with his physicality and toughness.
Okay. So, Hakeem Mezidor, how does he build on what he did this past football season? And what do you do with him? Because he's so dang versatile. Mm-hmm. To the point where, I mean, he's got a knuckle in the ground. He's standing up. Pre-snap. There's a lot of versatility. So what is he, I guess, is the great question.
Hakeem, we'll do as much as we can with him, but I think you'll see him multiple places. I think we'll try to get him matchups against different offensive linemen, put him in places where they can't game plan against him. For him, you know, it'll be being the guy, being the star, being able to handle the pressure in the big moment and having people understand who you are now. So he's got to navigate a little bit through that. But I think the sky's the limit still for him, and I think as many consistent big-time plays we can get at him, the better.
What's his best attribute? Because there are many, and I'm curious if you could maybe narrow it down that maybe something that only he can do.
He's a self-starter. He's relentless. I don't have to ever energize him or get him motivated. When it's time to play football, he just goes, and I think that's his best attribute. No matter what you ask him to do, it's yes, coach, and he goes out and does it.
Yeah, and this group is just overall pretty advanced, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have a number of projects on your hands, do you? Because there's some groups, right, you've got young guys that they have to cut their teeth, and there's a lot of really true foundation building block type of work that you need to do. It sounds like you're maybe doing 300, 400 level coursework with these guys.
Oh yeah, I'm at junior level, senior level classes with these guys. So, you know, every meeting I got to come prepared and have extra nuggets of information, because we're beyond one-on-one ball, which is great. But the great thing about this group is they come in with questions and they challenge me as a coach to also get better. So it's been good back and forth learning. I probably learned just as much from these guys as I am teaching them.
Well, AJ, we're glad to have you aboard here. All the best to you, and we'll have many more conversations like these coming down the road.
Thank you. Go Mountaineers.
All right, there he is. That's Andrew Jackson, AJ, WVU's defensive line coach. We'll have just more in a moment here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? It's doing a job that makes a difference. Serving your community and your country. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve. AFReserve.com.
Well, Shadon, it's been about 2 months exactly as we sit and chat here since you came to West Virginia, and I'm curious as to how you've been able to acclimate, wrap your arms around everything that's at your disposal here at West Virginia.
Well, the 2 months has went by really fast. I think, I look back over the two-month period, I don't know what day it is a lot of the times. You know, I'm learning a lot of things really quickly, but it's been great, you know, getting a chance to be on the grass with the guys. And getting to work with this staff has been good. Getting acclimated and getting to know kind of how we do things has been good for me.
Yeah. So when you look at the secondary, with some of the changes that have occurred, there's a domino effect when you lose some pieces. And I'm curious as to how that's going, what that looks like now that spring ball is in full bore here.
Well, we're doing actually really well. You know, I think we've got a good group that are gelling well together. And I think sometimes, you know, change is good. And, you know, I think guys have started to step up. And guys like a Scotty Young, who is now was a transfer last year that came in here and played in the bowl game. You'll see him flash a lot this fall. He's flashing a lot this spring. He's a great player. He's physical. But above everything else, he loves football, and he's a great leader, and he brings guys with him. So very excited about what he's going to do in the future. And, you know, Jackie Matthews has come on, who was a guy that didn't play a lot last year, was a junior college transfer. He's made a huge jump, and he flashes daily, and he's kind of become a leader. So I'd say those two guys have kind of flashed. And then you got guys like that are what I call the old guard, Nick Troy Fortune, who's played a lot of ball here. And then you got Daryl Porter, who is a freshman who is learning, who you see him flash. Like today, he made a couple plays on the ball, and then he gave up a deep ball. But he's going to have a chance as well. So we've got some pieces. We probably will add one more guy later on through the transfer market. But right now, guys are really working hard, and I'm excited about the guys we got right now.
Yeah, and as far as the transfer portal, have you been able to wrap your arms around it now that we're in the throes of it and what it all means, what you're finding out there? I know you can't speak specifically on particular players right now until they're in the program, but nevertheless, we're in uncharted waters, and I'm just curious as to how the boat's navigating those waters.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, you can do one of two things. You can applaud the portal, or you can bitch and complain about the portal. And, you know, I choose to applaud it because, you know, you're going to gain some and you're going to lose some from the transfer portal. It is an uncharted times. The hardest thing right now, and I'm speaking for the head coach, Coach Brown, is roster management. That is the difficult piece of trying to put together an 85-man roster when you can't replenish all the scholarships that you possibly have lost with the 25 hard cap. And so per year. And so that's the hard part, but you know, you've got to kind of do some things a little differently. You got to recruit less high school kids, which is a travesty for high school football. And I'm a big proponent, having been a high school coach a few years back, and it hurts the high school game, it hurts the junior college game, because you know, now guys, coaches, universities are looking to the transfer portal to fill holes in their rosters. And then you have players that are looking to go other places because they don't feel like they're you know, comfortable or fit where they are. And so it's just part of it. And you know, it's like anything else. Change is always a knee-jerk reaction. But then once we get used to it and we learn how to navigate it, it'll be just fine.
Yeah. And what do you think the biggest challenges in navigating it are going to be moving forward here? Again, now that we're in the throes of it, I guess we don't know what we don't know at this juncture. What are you anticipating, maybe, is the best way of asking?
Well, you know, I think I'm anticipating a lot more transfers. You know, it's going to turn into what basketball's become. You know, every year in basketball, there's 1,500 to 2,000 kids in the transfer portal. And so I think it'll turn into more of a recruit from the portal as opposed to recruiting high school kids, which is so disheartening for me. And the high school kids that work really hard across the country now are going to lose out on scholarship opportunities. What it will do is it will raise the product of the lower levels, the group of fives and the FCS. They're going to get some really good high school players that may have went to a Power Five, but the Power Five in their region didn't have a scholarship for them. And so it's going to raise their level of play. And that's just going to be the lay of the land, and that's going to happen. And it's going to be kind of like NFL free agency. Mm-hmm. Your favorite pro team never comes back the same because of free agency. Your favorite college team is not going to come back the same because of the transfer portal. It's just the way it is now.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So we might be looking at from a Power Five lens here. Are we looking at a feeder system at the FBS or the FCS level and the G5 level? To, you know, those players eventually transfer on to a Power Five after they've shown what they could do at a lower level? Is that kind of going to be a natural progression? Maybe freshman, sophomore year at one level, and then they graduate, for lack of a better term, for their junior season to the Power Five level, maybe?
Well, you hate to say that. You hate for it to be that way. But I think there will be some kids, not all, because it'll be your high achievers, your guys that are really talented. Those guys may have the opportunity to move on to a higher level. And I think that's just part of the domino effect of this change that, you know, people have wanted, you know, for a long time. And now it's here, and now we got to navigate it. And I think, about 4 years ago, Tad Bull, the head coach at Colorado, sat down with him, and we talked about the transfer portal because it started in basketball. And he said, you're going to have 1,500 to 2,000 kids a year in the transfer portal, and your high school recruiting is going to go by the wayside. And I said, there's no way. And so I start to look at it now, and I see basketball programs signing five kids, and four of them are transfers, and one high school kid. And so that's what college football has gone will turn into if coaches don't continue to, you know, build, you know. And I think Coach Brown, you know, he gets it. He's an old soul, being a young guy, and we come from an area where high school football is really good. And so we're going to build it through high school kids, but we'll fill some holes with the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's clairvoyant, by the way, he said about where we're at right now. But interesting and really illuminating stuff there. I didn't necessarily plan on going down that rabbit hole as we continue our conversation with Shadon Brown. So I'll steer the conversation now to how you're wrapping your arms around this defense, base hit a 4-2-5. You mentioned a month ago that it's unique. It's perhaps different than anything that you've been a part of. So what have you learned as you dig into it and get acclimated?
Well, I've learned that we're going to apply a lot of heat, a lot of pressure on the quarterback, right? We're going to utilize the front a lot in canceling gaps and doing some different things than I've done before. You know, the defense I've been a part of in the past were all secondary base adjustment-wise, and now we're a little bit more adjustment with the linebackers in the front, which is different for me, but it's a little bit easier from a secondary standpoint when you're doing that. But I think it's been good. I think we attack. I think our kids play hard. They run to the ball. So that is in line with my philosophies and what I want to do and what I want to be known for as a defensive coach, where guys are lined up, they run to the ball, they play hard, they play tough and physical, and they don't quit. And, you know, I think that's where we are right now. And I think from the overall scheme, I think there's so many possibilities you can do with this defense because the pieces all move in different places. I think that was the toughest part learning it is you could have a guy that plays this position. He can move to this other position and you can move pieces around like on a chessboard all the time and get to different looks. But you can't do that in other schemes that I'd been a part of. And so it's pretty neat. It's fun. That I can go in there and tell Coach Leslie, hey, this is the coverage I want to run. And he'll say, all right, I'll fix the front this way, blah, blah, blah. And we go with it. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what are you going to be able to add from your perspective, your lens, based on what I guess your upbringing is, for lack of a better term, and how is that going to marry into what Jordan essentially wants to do?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been a part of a lot of different schematic coverage-wise. You know, I've been a part of man coverage systems. I've been a part of zone systems. I've been a part of blended systems where you play man on certain routes and zone on others. And so we're kind of morphing some of those things that fit our kids. And I never want to be a guy that says, hey, this is what I do. I believe it's what the kids can do. So what we can execute and what our kids can handle from an athletic standpoint, that's what we'll be. And we'll beg and borrow and steal a few things from here and there from other people, from NFL teams, to just get these kids in the best position we can. And you know, I'm not a huge guy that, again, square peg and a round hole don't work for me. I'm a big guy on fit. You know, what fits this player, right? If it's a safety who can play man coverage, let's play more man. If it's a safety who's better in the deep part of the field, let's keep that kid in the deep part of the field. So I think all of our calls will be predicated on who we have as we get later in the spring and fall camp. But right now we're putting in our base stuff, working on fundamentals, working on formations and working on motions and adjustments. And then we're harping heavy on situational football. And so getting guys understanding, hey, there's a situation, and now how do we play during that situation, I think it's probably been the main focus for the spring right now.
Okay. So, Shadon, as the pieces are starting to come together here, as we're going to be wrapping up spring ball in the next few weeks, when we take the field on that final Saturday here this month, give me that buy low stock in your secondary that Mountaineer fans should maybe buy, especially if they're coming here to watch this game on Saturday in the gold-blue scrimmage. Who's going to be flying around out there and who's going to raise some eyebrows?
Buy stock in Jackie Matthews. Jackie Matthews has done an unbelievable job through the first six practices. He flashes every day. He's a great leader. He plays hard. He loves football. He's tough. You know, he's what you want. He's got the mentality of a corner. You know, he could get beat on a play and it doesn't faze him and he comes right back. And so he'll be a guy that will flash. And I'm excited. And, you know, I talked about Scotty. I think another guy that people will see when he runs around out there is a true freshman, Andrew Wilson Lamp. He looks the part. He's 6'2". He's 170 pounds. He's getting stronger. He looks like a beanpole right now. But believe me, he's already gained 20 pounds since he's been here. And he can flat run. He may be the fastest guy, arguably, on the defense. And so he'll be a guy that will flash and people will see him run around and they'll go, wow, who is that guy? And, you know, he'll probably need a smokehouse season. You know, we'll put him in the old smokehouse and cure him up, but he'll be ready to go. He's like an old, like you do old hams. Yeah. You put him in the smokehouse, but he's going to be a really good player for us. And, you know, the old guard, you know, Nick Troy Fortune, solid. He's played a lot of football here. And then Darryl Porter will be a guy also that I think will flash for us. But the guy right now that I think that stands out above the rest would be Jackie Matthews.
All right. Well, we'll hold you to that here. And Shadon, really look forward to many more conversations here coming down the pike. And all the best here as you put the finishing touches on spring ball.
All right. Thank you. Go Nears.
All right. Stand by. We'll have more coming up in just a moment. We appreciate everybody joining us here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Be sure to stay tuned and subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Give us 5 stars if you approve here. Shadon Brown was great, and special thanks to AJ Andrew Jackson. We'll have more coming up next time on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.